Jake, how you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Okay, well, what, we got a bad line here again? Okay, we're going to go with it, I think. There's a little hissing on our end, but we're going to go with it. How are we doing tonight, Jake?
If they're hissing at me, everything's fine.
Now, you had a, I know you had a little problem. You were stuck out of the country there for a little while, but I see you made it back safe and sound, eh?
Yeah, that's quite a while back now, Bob. That's, that was a little disconcerting, but,
We're glad to see you back and safe and sound.
Thanks, Rob.
So we had you on the show earlier in the season, and we talked a little bit about the Islanders and our, expressed our optimism that maybe this team would be a little bit better than other people had hoped. Things haven't quite worked out that way so far for the Islanders this season.
Not even a little bit. In fact, I thought they would be an awful lot better than they've been. Part of that, I guess, traceable to the injury, but every team in the league can talk about injuries.
Right.
Although that they can talk in the same terms that the Islanders have, the number of man games lost with injury. But, you know, it all goes back to goaltending. And when that didn't happen, when they didn't have the goaltending at the beginning of the season, we just knew that the handwriting was on the wall.
Do you think that played a little bit on the, in the players' minds? The team looked to DiPietro as a leader, and when he went down, even though McDonald and Jan Denne have played particularly well, perhaps mentally it's kind of tough to overcome when your franchise goaltender goes down so early?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you just can't replace a guy like Ricky. I don't know about the leadership. I mean, he's a very vocal guy, yeah, but goaltender being the leader, not necessarily the case, but you do rely on the expertise. You look for that athletic ability in your goaltender, and Rick has that. He's going to win a lot of games for you, going to keep you in games that will give you a chance to win, or at least maybe force it to overtime,
right,
into a shootout, that kind of thing. So, yeah, it's bound to play mentally, but at the same time, it's reality, and you get on with it. But when you lose a guy like, well, look at the number of games that that has been lost by Doug Waite,
factor in
Andy Sutton, factor in Comrie at the beginning of the season, and then when he did come back, I don't think he had his heart in it at all. So, there are a lot of different areas. Franz Nielsen, I mean, take what he has done since he's been back and healthy and factor what that could have been for the entire season. There are a lot of areas to think about.
Especially when we talk about the team, you know, as it was, the depth wasn't there. So when a few guys go down, it really is tough for the team to recover.
It is. And then I don't know that that any of us thought that probably you know, this far, well, once you make the commitment, once you've told Josh Bailey that he's on your hockey team and he's not going back to junior, then you have to go with the flow.
Right.
Have any of us projected the 20, 25 goals? Probably not, but I think we all projected that there'd be a little better goal scoring from Josh by this point of the season than what we've seen.
It's always so tough to tell with young players. Akposta, on the other hand, now has started to come on since he's come back from his injury, where Bailey, I think he's a little bit younger. Maybe he's having a little bit tougher time making that transition. Of course, he's still very young. But, again, it's really tough to tell sometimes if it's worth it to keep a guy at this level or send him back.
Yeah, exactly right. Does he develop better at the National Hockey League level, getting his feet wet, learning the ropes, learning the league, learning the other players in the league at this point, or does he develop better with another year playing at Windsor? There's nothing that you can say is cut and dry. Well, he could have done this, he could have done that.
Right.
He probably had gone as far as he could go in the Ontario Junior Hockey League.
So, I mean, in some ways, just being around the pro game and seeing how things operate, sometimes even if the numbers aren't there, it could be a learning experience that's invaluable. And if it's going to happen during any season, let it happen in a year that the Islanders are not really going anywhere, and perhaps next year he'll be all the better for it.
I think so. And we certainly have to hope so, don't we? Islander fans in particular have to think that this was a learning year, that he'll come back with increased confidence, come back with increased strength. I'm sure they'll have him on a program over the summer that will increase the upper body strength. This is one of the things that I noticed on that road trip I was on with them, Bob. Compared to teams in the Western Conference, the Islander forwards in particular, were small. They were pushed around. They didn't measure up with the defense or even the other forwards. The forwards of the teams of the Southwest, that being Calgary, Edmonton, San Jose, and even in Phoenix.
Yeah.
Even Phoenix.
I mean, that's a good point. I mean, Mike Comrie is gone now, and, of course, he got a lot of ice time when he was healthy and played up the middle. And you have a guy like Kyle Okposo now playing who's got some size. So, again, if you want to look at the bright side of things, Okposo, I think, in particular, he really has seemed to come back well since his injury. He's got 12 goals now, I believe, in 48 games. He seems to be playing with a lot more confidence. He has that size that maybe the Islanders are going to need to compete with some of the bigger teams up front in the league. So although the season has not gone very well, there are still some bright spots to look at on this team, and I think Okposo is certainly one of them.
He absolutely is, and I think you can look at the resurgence of the Tom Bergenheim, Franz Nielsen as well. The one kid that I would really like to see break out of it and show what he can really do at this level is Jeff Tambellini. I think Jeff has all kinds of skill. I don't know whether it's...
He's like an enigma. He's an enigma.
He is. He absolutely is. There's everything that you can ask for in a player. Pretty good size. Great set of hands. His skating is much better than his father's was. And he wants to play, but it just doesn't seem to come together for him, at least not with the Islanders. And on the trip, a couple of guys that have known him this business for a long time were projecting that he might be a far better player in the Western Conference than in the Eastern Conference. And a little more speed game out there.
Is that what it is? Maybe the type of game that's played in the East? I know typically everyone says the West is a speed game and the East is always a grinded out. Is that still the case today, though? I mean, the way the game has changed, I mean... Could that be one of the reasons why he hasn't flourished as quickly or as well here?
It could be. I think it might be a contributing factor. He's a guy who, come Wednesday by the trade deadline, may find himself somewhere else. I mean, you might be able to pick up a prospect or a fairly high-round draft pick from a team that feels that they could develop, that Jeff Tambellini would be a player for them.
I'm sorry, Jeff, go ahead.
I was just going to say, he could be one of the guys moved on Wednesday.
Yeah, and it's kind of, in a way, it makes you sad, a little unfortunate, because, like you said, you see the potential in him, but you wonder if maybe just the change of scenery is going to be the thing that it takes for him to get his game on track.
Yeah, exactly, and I know others are going to be saying, well, gee, you don't trade a young prospect, you don't trade a guy with all this upside that Jeff has. Well, the Islanders just did that. Garth Snow found a reason or a place for Cam Foley to go. And I think Chris will flourish with the Ottawa team. So, yeah, the precedent is set. Maybe do trade a young guy for a future.
You mentioned the trading of Cam Foley. And today, I don't know if you saw the Newsday online, Greg Logan wrote a little article about a little division maybe in the locker room with Scott Gordon amongst the veteran players and some of the younger players. What do you make of that situation? Is there anything to that, do you think?
Well, where there's smoke, there's fire. Logie's good. Logie works at his craft and does a nice job. And I think Greg has been around. I know he hasn't been one of Scott Gordon's favorite reporters or favorite people to talk to, and Greg knows that. Whether they got off on the wrong foot or they just haven't clicked, haven't meshed, haven't got the confidence, and that if there's a quote there that Scott has been throwing out that Greg's going to write it that way or make it mean what Scott wants it to mean. There just isn't the love affair going on between coach and reporter that you would like to see.
Right.
And there are not that many reporters around. If Scott's going to have a problem with one, imagine what he would be like in Montreal or Toronto or even Boston with the barrage there.
Well,
so,
I mean, that's one thing, the relationship between Gordon and Logan. But do you think, I mean, in the locker room, to me, I mean, Gordon is trying to develop these younger players, and if it's the way he's using maybe some of the veterans is bothering some of them, to me, you know, that's what Scott has to do, though.
He does. And I think his point, to me, was well made and well taken, that he didn't have to go over things with the veterans that he was working on with the kids. They didn't have to hear it. He didn't need Bill Guerin. He didn't need Doug Wade. He didn't need a Brendan Whitting with the young guys as they were reviewing video and looking
right.
at mistakes and trying to correct things. These guys knew what the game was all about. There was an interview last night with Joe Thornton, and it was just, it was fabulous. I mean, Joe's been around the league for a while and has put up some fabulous numbers, as you know, Rob, but he said it was when McClellan got to San Jose, and they sat down and McClellan talked to him about his game, what he expected of him, and his game, that all of a sudden the game became simple, became easy for him.
Right.
And he understood what his role was. I think most of the veterans get to that point, but getting there, and how quickly in their career did they get there? And I was surprised to hear Joe say that. I said, he's a veteran. He's got 10 years or more in the league, and a number one draft pick and so on. And you say, gee, he finally got it. He understands what his role, how the game is to be played. Imagine after that time. So, yeah, these young guys need the work. They need to be talked to, need to listen, act and react, that kind of thing, interact with the coach.
And I think maybe some of that is Gordon, too, being a rookie coach, maybe learning a little bit of how to communicate with different players when you're talking to veterans or when you're talking to young guys, and how to keep everyone happy. It's not just a matter of X's and O's during the game. It's a matter of managing these different personalities and getting them to perform to their potential.
Yeah, exactly. And having coached in the American League, you're expected to develop young players. You don't have that many veterans, perhaps, or certainly guys that have been around as long as a Bill Guerin or a Doug Wade or even a Brendan Whitt, who I mentioned before. You don't have that kind of player. You may have your 26, 27-year-old, but you don't have your 38, 39-year-old, at least at this stage anyway, in the American Hockey League.
Now, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here, but I know John Tavares is the big touted major junior player up in London, Ontario, playing with the Knights in the OHL, as being potentially one of the number one picks. Do you know anything about him? Do you hear anything about him up there?
Oh, yeah. If you read the Ontario newspapers or follow the Ontario Hockey League at all, everybody is familiar with John Tavares. I had the good fortune, Rob, of going to the Ontario Hockey League All-Star Game in Windsor just about a month ago now, I guess it was.
Right.
The skills competition, the best play that I saw was 3-on-3. They did a non-stop 3-on-3 event, four, if you want to call it, include the goaltenders.
That's some of the most entertaining when the NHL guys go 4-on-4. It's the most entertaining hockey.
It was absolutely splendid. This is where you saw the hands, the ability. There was no hitting in the game, like the NHL All-Star game in that respect, but you could see the talent and the ability. The only thing that bothered me a little bit in the skills competition was that he and Duchesne, I thought both of them in particular, really tried to hot dog it, put on some moves that had they worked, they would have been beautiful, but they didn't work. And he didn't do a whole lot in the All-Star game itself, in my opinion. But again, it was a no-hitter, and it was just back and forth, up and down, score at will, if you will. But you could see the flashes of brilliance. In my book, watching that game, it would be a toss-up between three players. It would be Tavares, Duchesne, and this Taylor Hall, I believe it is, who plays in Windsor. I think his first name is Taylor. Hall was just outstanding in that particular event. So, Tavares is a very, very good hockey player. Is he a Gretzky? Is he a Crosby? Is he Yager? No, he's John Tavares, and John Tavares, surrounded by a good support staff or good support on his hockey team and his line in particular, will be very, very good for a long time.
Well, let's hope if things continue the way they do with the Islanders that they get an opportunity to pick one of those guys and they can start building with some of the youth that they already have, and hopefully a few years from now, God willing, the team stays here on Long Island, that they'll be on the upturn in a few years.
Yeah, there was some pretty interesting news this week on the Lighthouse Project, wasn't there?
Yeah, so. That's right, and that's why hopefully, and Wong looks like he wants to keep the team here. It's just a matter of some red tape he's trying to get himself through, and hopefully, like you mentioned, that the team will stay here.
Yeah, that's got to be it long term. The island just can't lose its hockey team.
Absolutely not. And we miss you here, Jiggs, and I want to apologize. I know we had some trouble getting you on the line. You had to call here to get on the air. I appreciate it.
Hey, I'll pay to talk to you anytime, Bob. Well, not a problem.
It's always a pleasure, Jiggs. Thanks so much.
Be well.
Okay.
Take care.
Again, that was Islanders broadcaster Jiggs McDonald.